We live, we love, we serve. I've committed to, for the next foreseeable future, in this moment, before I read the scripture, I want to do just some quick teaching. I think that in this moment, with so much going on, it's important that we center ourselves and not be caught up in the shock and awe that we've been seeing and not be misguided. First, we want to pray for the family, so those who passed this week, and two plane crashes we know of. Tragic for sure, because I think all of us, well, none of us can really imagine what it feels like to lose a loved one that manner. And so we have to be with them and their families today. But I want to share something before I read the scripture. We are living in what is known as, if you've never heard this phrase before, an attentional economy, ATT. Attention, like attention, attentional economy. Because the real commodity in this age, you are the commodity. Your attention is the finite resource. And that is why so many companies spend billions of dollars to get your attention. That is why they pay billions total to social media platforms, because they figure if they can get your attention, then they can sell their product. And they get your attention by algorithms. We know this, that keeps you looking at it. But the point is, your attention is what the platforms are selling. That they can keep your attention long enough so that these companies who invest, who give money to these platforms, can make money off of your attention. That's why you have to fight the addiction to be on these phones and these tablets, because we don't want to talk about it, but it is an addiction for many of us. And with that addiction comes a price: social deprivation, attention deficit, but most of all, economic deprivation, because the more you spend connected to your addiction and connected to this attention economy, somebody is getting wealthy. That's why information is valuable in this moment, but also information is used to draw you in. So, beloved, if you hear that phrase, attentional economy, that is the economy we're in right now. Everybody is literally competing and paying for your attention. All right, I've done my PSA today. Romans 8. This is a scripture, actually, an idea that when you come into this building and you get through the lobby to the vestibule, right there above the wall, you'll see those big letters: creation is waiting. This is a scripture I want to use this morning. Romans 8. 18 and 19. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. Let me read that one more time. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. Come on, beloved, let's pray. God, we bless your name on today. We honor you, O God, for this season. In this season, O God, we're called to remember, to reflect, and to rebuild, O God. Truth is, O God, you've brought us a mighty long way. We are all living witnesses to your protection and your provision. God, in this season, continue to remind us, O God, that you're still on the throne. In this season, continue to remind us, O God, that you neither slumber nor sleep. In this season, continue to remind us, O God, that you will never leave nor forsake. God, we thank you. Thank you for your presence. You know, God, thank you for the most important thing that we've experienced today. We woke up. We are here. We made it through another day. And to see the mercies in this new day, we thank you, Lord. We honor you, God. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Now I'm going to read that passage of scripture again. Romans 8, 18 and 19. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. Amen. Come put your hands together. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you take your seat. I want this morning to preach from this subject, from groaning to glory. From groaning to glory. There is a seemingly inherent tension in our living, a rhythm to our living, a rhythm to our reality that pulls us between pain and promise, between suffering and salvation. It is a tension that exists every day of our lives. It is amazing how we as human beings can go from the heights of ecstasy and power and transformation and then plummet to the depth of despair and misery. The amazing thing is that we can experience all of those emotions in the same day. The highs and the lows, the ups and the downs, that is the tension in our living. No matter how much you pray, no matter how much scripture you may read, you cannot avoid the tension. I'm going to say that again. No matter how much you pray, no matter how much scripture you read, you cannot avoid the tension in our living, the rhythms of our living. It is not just a tension that you live in and we live in as human beings, but all of creation, all of the world is groaning under that tension. And there are times when, because of the social climate or political climate or cultural climate, that the tension seems a little unbalanced. We hear of more pain, more suffering, more sorrow. And if you pay attention to the television much, you get bombarded with seemingly more insanity. The world is groaning in many ways, whether we want to own it, admit it or not, under the weight of brokenness, aching and waiting for a revelation of something more. You ever have that feeling in your spirit that there has to be more to life than sometimes the pain we deal with? Something deep within you always wants to almost revolt and rebel against the insanity, because primarily we believe there's something better ahead. It is the thing that keeps us moving forward, even when there are obstacles that seek to keep us down and hold us back. It is the belief, in the language of our forebears, that trouble won't last always. It is that great hope that we hold on to, but not only a hope, we have hope and testimony and witnesses. And we become those testimonies and those witnesses, because more than a few of us in here today, yes, we can live in that tension between pain and promise, but we also know what it is to experience the move of God in our lives. I'm convinced that there's not one person in here today, no matter how bad you've experienced life, no matter how challenging it has been, no matter how hard it can be, we all also have another narrative that we can hold on to, where the things that seem insurmountable become the things we can overcome. The obstacles that seemingly were in our way become the obstacles that we can overcome. The challenges that stand in our way are the challenges that we can overcome. And just in case you wonder about the possibility of doing that, you have the capacity to reflect and remember on what God has already done. I hope somebody can hear this today, because a thing that helps keep you hopeful in the midst of challenging times is knowing that we have seen this before, been here before, and we've come through it before, which means that if I've come through it before, I thank God because I can come through it again. Is there anybody in here today who can testify that trouble doesn't last always? Is there anybody in here today who can testify that in the darkest of nights that the light can shine through, that even in the midst of your tears you can give God a shout of praise, that in the midst of your hardship you can still lift holy hands and give God the best of what you have to give? Why? Because even though the tension is real, the pain, the suffering, the sorrow is not final. Oh God, I thank God that it doesn't get the last word in my life. And it may seem like it is never ending, but God, it doesn't get the last word. I stand here as a witness of that. That I've experienced doctors shaking their heads in confusion, but I'm still here. I've seen people not believe I could make it to this point, but I'm still here. But guess what? I ain't the only one who's still here. Is anybody in here today who people counted you out, thought you couldn't survive, thought you wouldn't make it, thought that if they walked away from you, your life would be in shambles? But you gotta let them know, I'm still here. In spite of everything you did to try to take my sanity, I'm still here. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm still here. I'm still here. Still standing, still fighting, still strong, still wise. I'm still here. In this passage in Romans 8, Paul is speaking directly to this tension that exists. Paul does not dismiss suffering. He names it. He acknowledges it. And then he lifts our eyes beyond it. Well, I hope you heard that. He names it, he acknowledges it, and then he lifts our eyes beyond it. I'm gonna say it one more time. He names it, he acknowledges it, but then he lifts our eyes beyond it. You didn't get that part. That wasn't for Paul, that was for you. Because when you face the pain, name it. When you're going through hardships, acknowledge it. But then lift your eyes beyond it and lift your spirit beyond it so that you can see beyond what you may be going through, even in this moment. I hope I'm helping somebody here this morning, because I don't know who I'm speaking to, but there's somebody right now. The assignment you have is not just to say, I'm going through. The assignment you have is not just to acknowledge what you're in, but it is to shift your attitude and say that there's something beyond the crisis, chaos, and something beyond the hurt and the harm that's waiting for me. Oh gosh. I'm not talking about the by and by when we all get to heaven. I'm talking about right now. I gotta help. So I can't wait for my breakthrough when I'm dead. I can't wait for my breakthrough when I'm gone. I got to live it and experience it right now. So what does Paul say? Paul acknowledges, names. He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to compare with the glory about to be revealed. Wait a minute, I'm gonna come to that in a second. He acknowledges the pain of the present. We groan, we hurt at times, we cry out, we lament. And that is okay. Don't let anyone rob you or based on some superficial spirituality that seeks to rob you of your very real human emotions when you feel as though your back is up against the wall. This superficial spirituality that makes you think if you're hurting and acknowledging it somehow, you're not believing and trusting. No, I'm a human being. If you hurt me, it will hurt. I will cry. I will feel it. But what I know is that that's not the only emotion I possess. So part of my acknowledging the present groaning is being honest about the situation that I am in, even if the situation is self-created and self-inflicted. Oh, that's the part you got to be able to own. Because every crisis you're in, let's be honest, the devil ain't always busy. You busy. I got to say it. You don't try to scapegoat the enemy because you don't want to be honest about your proclivities. Yeah, you've been busy. You done had a whole lot of time on your hand. And well, let me not beat up on you. People are busy too. And that's why we have to be able to acknowledge that. That we know what it is to feel the weight of disappointment in this current moment. Admit it. We know what it is to hurt. We know what it is to have people or mothers praying over empty refrigerators. We know what it is. We know what it is for to see fathers and mothers working 3 jobs and still have no home to live in. And the wealthiest country in the world. We know what it is to see some of our immigrant brothers and sisters afraid to come outside for fear of not deportation, but detention. You'll get that when you get home. Don't think that everyone who's detained is being deported, because detention is big money in this country, because more facilities need to be built, more detention centers have to be built. Don't be fooled into the deportation language, because detention makes some folk wealthy who know how to stroke the ego of pathological narcissists who occupy 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. But so acknowledging the pain is also simultaneously creating a community of solidarity around the suffering that is common to our humanity. So you have to acknowledge that. But here's what I've learned, and I've said it already. As real as the pain is, it is not final. Look at what Paul says. I'll repeat it again. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy of comparing with the glory that is on the way. Oh, don't clap on that. I said it wrong intentionally. I'm going to say it again wrong. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is on the way. Wait a minute. This is why Paul doesn't use this language of on the way. Because on the way means it is not here, it is waiting to arrive. That ain't what Paul says. He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed. Oh, wait a minute. That's different. If Paul said it was on the way, we'd be waiting for the arrival of the glory. He said, no, it is waiting to be revealed, which means the glory is present. It is just waiting to be seen. You ain't got that part yet. It is not on the way. That gives us this idea of waiting for an arrival of hope. No, no. Glory is right here. And glory keeps on giving us glimpses every day. Paul said it doesn't compare to what is about to be revealed. That there's something on the other side of this pain, and it is already present. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, I wish I had time this morning. Wait a minute. You mean that just as I cry out for my suffering, I need to also keep my eyes open for the revelation of glory? Oh God, You didn't catch that. That just as I acknowledge the pain, at the same time, I need to be prepared and ready for the promise. You ain't catch that. I'm gonna say it again. That just as I acknowledge the pain clearly, I got to acknowledge the glory is right here at the same time. That's why you can't let your fear be final, your pain be final, because just as you acknowledge the pain, the breakthrough is right next to the pain. How do you know? How do you know it's here? It is in the resilience of people who are still here and refuse to be broken. Okay, you ain't get that. The glory is here in the resilience of people who refuse to be broken. See, I know you didn't catch that in Black History Month. Okay. The glory is here in the resilience of people, let me change this, who could not be broken. Can I get Black History Month for you? They've been trying for 400 years. They've been trying, but our resilience is too much. No matter how hard you try to break us, we're reminded, no weapon. Oh, they're gonna form them, but no weapon. It may look like it has some strength, but no weapon shall prosper. Here it is. How do you know the glory is here? The glory is not only in the resilience of people who refuse to be broken, but it's also in the children who refuse to stop dreaming. Oh God, I hope you hear this. The children who refuse to stop dreaming. That's why you got to encourage your young people's dreams. That's why we call them young dreamers, because as long as they can keep on dreaming, they can push towards a desired future. And the key is we got to give them more fuel to dream bigger dreams. Don't kill their dreams. Don't dash their dreams. Don't you dare tell a young person what they can't do based on your limited possibility. Don't speak against their strength because you're fearful. You got to encourage the dreams of our young people. That's why we say we're a community of visionaries, dreamers, and doers. But it ain't just the grown folk, it's the young people. I sat here at a funeral a couple of days ago and heard one of our young people. Young people, when she came to speak about her stepfather, she shared the language of FCBC, blew my mind. She talked that she may be here today, talked about the language we use and the words we use and what they mean. And here, if you don't understand it, you think the repetition of our words every week is because we want to hear ourselves speak? It's because our young people are listening. And the more we repeat it, the more we speak our affirmations, the more we pour into them. There's a little baby right now who don't know my name. She thinks my name is We Live, We Love, We Serve. But the more she says it, the more she'll understand it. Can you imagine what it'll be like when she's 9 years old and she shows up in second or third grade and she tells her classmates and they ask her who she is? I'm a visionary, I'm a dreamer, and a doer. We don't speak these words for ourselves. We speak them for our children. Look at somebody and tell them the glory is here. The glory is here. But now, hold on. It's verse 19, Pastor Heaven, that folk got to get. Because when we say the glory is about to be revealed, what is about to be revealed? Put my glasses back on. When you sit around waiting for God to move in your life, I want you to know that God is waiting for you to move in your life. Boy, I hope you heard that. I'm gonna say it again because it didn't hit y'all the way I thought it would hit. You're waiting for God to show up, and God is waiting for you to show up.
life doesn't just happen to you. You better learn to happen to life. You have to understand the power that is inherent within you. You cannot be made in the likeness, image, and substance of God and then speak about your weakness. No, you got to acknowledge your strength. You got to talk about how strong you are, how courageous you are. You've spoken against yourself long enough. I dare you to start speaking in support of yourself. Why? Because if God can trust you, you better start trusting yourself. If God can love you, you better start loving yourself. Stop making excuses and having conversations with the silent partner in your mind. Why? What is to be revealed? Verse 19. For creation. Oh, wait a minute. All of creation waits with eager longing for, here it is, the revealing of the children of God. Oh gosh, wait a minute. That trees are swaying in the breeze in expectation. Rivers are rushing toward restoration. Mountains stand as witnesses to redemption. The trees and the rivers and the mountains are waiting for you. Can you imagine all of creation is waiting for you to get your mind together, to recognize who you are? And you've already had glimpses of your strength. I know God did it, but God did it through you. Okay, you ain't got that part. I need you to hear this today, beloved, because I ain't speaking to the weak you. I'm speaking to the strong you. Even if you never met the strong you yet, I'm going to speak to the strong you. I'm going to speak to the you that can handle everything that has come your way, because if you could not handle, you would not be born into this moment. I'm speaking to the you who is strong enough to take any criticism, any negative narratives. You can handle any gossip. I'm speaking to the strong you who is not manipulated by the meanderings of mediocre people. I'm speaking to the strong you, the you who can stand in the face of injustice and declare what shall be. I'm speaking to the strong you. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I want to talk to the strong you. You know why? Because for some of you, your representative been showing up for far too long. You need to come up in this moment and declare who you are, who you will be, and what God has to work with. I know that. Because in this moment of crisis, culturally, politically, socially, creation is waiting for you to realize who you are. Stop waiting for some leader to do it. Put your hands to the plow. Stop waiting for a party to do it. Get your community together. Stop waiting for somebody else to do for you what you have the capacity to do for yourself. Why? Because we are the ones that we've been waiting for. We are the ones who God has been waiting for. All of creation is waiting for the revealing of the children of God. I hope you get that, beloved, that we can move from groaning to glory because we got a witness and testimony. I know there's some folk in here right now who know that they have made it because of the power of God, not working around them or working for them, but working through them. So you stand strong in the face of your fiercest enemy. You stand strong in the face of all chaos, because if it could break you, it would have broke you already. But you got to remind the circumstances, and you got to say it till you believe it. I am unbreakable. No. You got to speak that to yourself. I am unbreakable. No, you got to say that again till you feel it. I am. They couldn't break Harriet. I'm am unbreakable. It couldn't break Fannie Lou. I am unbreakable. They couldn't break Sojourner. I am unbreakable. They couldn't break Marcus and Malcolm and Martin. I am unbreakable. Speak that affirmation into your spirit. The next time the tears begin to flow and you want to wonder what you're going to do. I am unbreakable. And you know why I'm unbreakable? It's because I am adaptable. The winds may blow, but I know how to sway with the winds. I'm unbreakable. We are unbreakable. Do me a favor, stand to your feet today. I want you to remember that so much that is being said and done for public consumption is designed to evoke fear and confusion and chaos. But we can't behave as though this is our first rodeo. I can look back on the people who've come through the dark night of hell and came out not only standing, but swinging. We're unbreakable. We are unbreakable. And I know sometimes worry is real, especially when we see things happening. So many of our people in this country, so many people live paycheck to paycheck. Some without health care, and so many people waiting for the economy to get better. Let me just give you a news flash. It's gonna get worse before it gets better. Some hard times are on the way. The problem is that the hard times that are coming are for the people who a whole lot of other folk don't care about. But hard times are coming. Prices gonna keep going up. Groceries gonna get more expensive. Because it ain't just gonna be about eggs in a few months. But just when you wonder, when will it end? Just when it begins to be so intense, are you trying to figure out, one, how is it going to stop? Remember, I am unbreakable. It doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt and it's not intense. Can't break me. It won't break me. You got to remind yourself of that. It won't. And then when you start looking around saying, who gonna say something? Who gonna do something? Take all that energy, find the closest mirror, and you'll see your next hero looking back at you. Because part of the trick is to make you think you have no capacity. But remember, you are unbreakable. You are strong. And you have a history. And you have internal resources that have been cultivated for 15 generations. Right inside of you. So when you see things coming, you got to speak from the generations and say, this ain't nothing right now. My hands not bound. My feet not bound. And most of all, my mind not bound. So I can handle whatever comes. I can handle it. Because God did some of God's best handiwork when God made us. Every cell is powerful. Everything about you is strong. Don't forget that. I want us to pray right now. And as I pray, I want you to pray. And not for yourself. I want you to stand in the gap and pray right now for communities who are living in fear. And pray right now for families who are hungry. Pray right now for children who go to school without adequate resources. Pray right now for our seniors who at times feel alone and are afraid to come out the house. Pray right now for those young people who have to be strategic in navigating certain streets in this country, whether it be Los Angeles or New York City or Chicago or Atlanta. Pray right now that we become delivered from materialism and consumerism. Pray right now that love will abound more than hate, and peace will abound more than war. There's no such thing as us living in our community anymore. We are part of a global family. If there's a child suffering in the Sudan, I'm suffering here in Harlem. Pray. Pray. For all those today who are not sure if this is their last day. God, we come to you right now asking, oh Lord, that you would strengthen us and preserve us. God, remind us that we don't have to pray for strength. We pray for a good memory so that we can remember how strong we already are. God, thank you for this season. Because God, sometimes seasons like this one have a way of causing the best of us to rise up. So God, we're ready, according to that scripture, we're ready to be revealed. And God, remind us, if we are your children, that we lead with love, so that it may be, oh God, that creation is waiting for love revolutionaries. God, I'm convinced we are the ones who will lead the way, who will cut through the chaos and the hate, who will cut through the vitriol and the mean-spiritedness and point to another way, the way of the carpenter. God, thank you for trusting us with daily assignments to show up as our best selves. Thank you, God. We can be a mess, but we're blessed with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We love you, Lord. We honor you, God. And it's in your name we pray.
Let me say amen. Amen. Amen.